This is News Radio 105.9 WBBM's All Local. Listen and subscribe for Chicago's most up-to-date news each weekday morning and afternoon. Now from the WBBM Newsroom, these are the most important news stories from the Chicago area.
Our topical story on News Radio WBBM. Chicago police are looking for two people who vandalized a Lincoln Park bank overnight. WBBM's Nancy Hardy has the story.
Witnesses alerted police officers on patrol shortly after midnight that three people had damaged a Citibank on Halsted near Armitage. The police department says when they arrived, they saw a broken window and profanity spray painted on the bank. Officers caught a 56-year-old man trying to get away and took him into custody. Paramedics brought him to the hospital for observation, where he was listed as being in good condition. Nancy Hardy, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
The owner of a Lakeview restaurant says he is feeling frustrated but not defeated after yet another break-in.
This is the third time that happened to us in the past 10 months.
Kevin Yu says 2D Restaurant here in the 3100 block of North Halsted is he and his wife's second home. He calls the latest break-in violating.
It was quite unfortunate, since me and my wife, we were actually in the store until about 1:30 in the morning, putting up our first ever Asian story of Halloween decoration.
Rather than hosting a planned fundraiser for McPherson Elementary students, you caught up with us from a Home Depot, where he was purchasing plywood for the glass door that the thief, who made off with around $80 in tips, shattered.
We still have 22 families depending on their life, their income on the restaurant. So for them, we our plans to reopen as soon as possible.
Yu admits the break-ins are taking a toll, but vows to keep cooking up 2D's popular fried chicken and mochi donuts as soon as possible.
Just like Chicago, you know, the great fire burned down Chicago and they reborn better than ever. So we'll do the same thing with our restaurant as well.
In Lakeview, Andy Dane, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Trial is set to begin today for the Indiana man accused of killing two teenage girls in 2017. 52-year-old Richard Allen is charged in the murders of 13-year-old Abigail Williams and 14-year-old Liberty German in the small town of Delphi, where they all lived. Jurors were selected in a city nearly 100 miles away. The case has seen repeated delays amid speculation by true crime enthusiasts.
Meantime, back here in Chicago, 12 jurors have finally been chosen in former Illinois House Speaker Mike Madigan's federal corruption trial.
The 12th member of the 8-woman, 4-man panel was chosen on Thursday. However, there's still work to do before opening statements can begin in Madigan's trial. U.S. District Judge John Blakey still is searching, along with prosecutors and defense attorneys, for alternate jurors. Madigan's trial is expected to go into the holiday season. Roger Plummer, News Radio, 105.9 WBBM.
A Lombard man has been sentenced for attempting to support a terrorist organization and for drug crimes.
41-year-old Jason Brown admitted in a plea agreement that on three occasions 5 years ago, he provided $500 in cash to an individual with the understanding that the money would go to an ISIS soldier involved in terrorist activity in Syria. The individual was an undercover informant. Prosecutors say Brown converted to Islam while in prison and worked to radicalize members of his gang. The defense said he was unfairly portrayed as a boogeyman and there was never any actual support for terrorism. He also admitted to trafficking fentanyl. Brown was sentenced to 18 years in prison. Prosecutors had sought 30. The defense asked for 10. Mike Krauser, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
We're learning more about what some local UAW workers won by going on strike this past summer.
UAW Local 3212 workers went on strike in August against a company that makes parts for the Ford assembly plant a few blocks away in the Hagwish neighborhood on the city's southeast side. According to the Times of Northwest Indiana, the workers for Dakota Integrated Systems were able to negotiate raises of 30 to 36% over the new 2.5-year contract. UAW Local 3212 represents nearly 600 workers. Before the new contract, their wages ranged from about $16 to $20 an hour. Bernie Tafoya, News Radio, 105.9 WBBM.
The head of the Civic Federation says raising revenues isn't the only way Chicago can close its massive budget gap.
Joseph Ferguson, president of the Civic Federation, says Chicago can close its budget gap without resorting to property tax increases. He suggests things like using TIF surplus funds and imposing mandatory furlough days. The head of the respected research group says if you cut waste, there's a significant amount to be saved.
When you're carrying 3,000 or almost 3,000 vacancies for which you have to find money, revenue to balance the budget, the question should be asked, why are we carrying these vacancies? And, you know, the answer for something like that is it costs political capital to actually cut vacancies, because then you get into a game of thrones between the unions. Why my position's not theirs?
Ferguson says people have been asking how big will the property tax hike be. He says that's the wrong question. It should be how small can it be, and do we really need it? At City Hall, Craig Delamore, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Evanston Skokie School District 65 canceled a scheduled Zoom meeting last night to answer questions from families about the announced ending of 7th and 8th grade classes at the Bessie Road School of Global Studies and move students to other schools. An email from district officials said they no longer believed it would have been a safe or productive space for group dialogue because the link had been shared publicly. They decided instead to hold personalized one-on-one Zoom calls to share information and discuss individual needs of students. Time now for sports, sponsored by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Here's Josh Liss.
Former Bears quarterback Jay Cutler was arrested last night in Franklin, Tennessee, near Nashville, for drunk driving and gun possession. According to TMZ, he faces four charges, including driving while intoxicated and possession of a handgun while under the influence. Cutler's 41 now. Yeah, he posted bond, was released a few hours later last night. His mugshot, Cutler has a scruffy beard, thick head of hair on top. He's not smiling. Tyler Bertuzzi and the Blackhawks live up to their star treatment, treating fans with a Hollywood-style public entrance to the United Center hours before pummeling the visiting Sharks 4-2.
The amount of fans on the red carpet was awesome to see, all the support, and I think that's why it was awesome to get the win at home.
Tyler Bertuzzi and Nick Foligno score power play goals with assists from Teuvo Teravainen and Connor Bedard.
I thought we had maybe our least amount of lapses and mistakes, and obviously it's nice when you get a lot of power plays for momentum and just puck possession and everything, so yeah, I thought we were good all night.
Feel-good goal for Taylor Hall, opening the party for the Hawks with his first of the year, first since before his ACL injury 11 months ago. Jason Dickinson caps the scoring with his second of the year, only 20 saves needed from Peter Mrazek. The Hawks are up to 2-2-1, back tomorrow hosting Buffalo. The Dodgers go for the pennant today. They're 24, the most in NL history. They're aiming to win a 25th, up 3-1. And they'll play Game 5 with the Mets at 4 o'clock after smashing New York 10-2 with home runs from Betts and Ohtani. Off Quintana, who takes the loss. The Yankees lead 2-1 Cleveland over New York, 7-5 on a 10th-inning home run from David Fry. The Guardians down 2-1 host the Yankees in Game 4. This evening, the Bulls' regular season opener is Wednesday. They've got one more tune-up with Cleveland here tonight. Lonzo Ball's expected to play on a 16-minute-a-game limit. Josh Liss, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Musicians, dancers, firewalkers, artists, and bicyclists will be wandering down State Street in Chicago tomorrow.
Okay, let's do one more time.
Final rehearsals for some of the performances and acts in this weekend's nighttime procession of all things cultural.
3, 2, 1, go.
We've had giant stilt walkers. I'm amazed at these huge puppets. And I mean, they're 20 feet tall. It's unbelievable.
Luma 8's executive director, Shireen Shariatsidi, says the Arts in the Dark Festival celebrates the arts in Chicago.
And this is a moment where not only are the established organizations and artists there to celebrate together, but all of the aspiring, the young people who kind of see maybe a place for them in the arts.
The 10th annual parade will be on Saturday, October 19th, and will travel down State Street starting at Lake at 6 p.m. 86 different groups will be performing in the Arts in the Dark parade this year.
And it's just such a beautiful celebration of Chicago's cultural community.
Lisa Fielding, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
A Chicago police officer who shot and killed a man during a foot chase last year may be stripped of his badge following a vote last night. WBBM's Nancy Hardy has the latest.
It was a close vote by the Chicago Police Board to remove Officer Fernando Ruiz, who shot and killed Reginald Clay Jr. in Garfield Park in the spring of last year. Body camera video shows the 24-year-old holding a gun and potentially setting it on a porch as Ruiz shoots him.
Get an ambulance over here now. Come on. Grab him.
Okay, we're getting the one over there. 3,000 block of Floyd Lane.
Come on.
COPA also recommended Ruiz be discharged after it says he violated the police department's foot pursuit policy, failed to activate his body camera in a timely manner, and failed to use de-escalation techniques. Superintendent Larry Snelling wants a 2-day suspension instead. Ruiz can ask for arbitration or a hearing before the full police board. Nancy Hardy, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
A train fire on the CTA Brown Line is impacting travel in the loop this morning. The Chicago Fire Department posted on social media at 7:45 7:45 that the fire near Adams and Wabash had been put out. No injuries are reported, but operations on multiple train lines has been affected. We'll get an update shortly from Beau Durand during traffic and weather together on the 8th.
The University of Illinois is pulling back on a proposal for a huge facility in the South Loop.
According to Cranes, the U of I is canceling plans to build the Discovery Partners Institute in the new 78 neighborhood. It was supposed to be a $285 million research and teaching facility. Now the University of Illinois plans to split that effort in two, with part being built in the new quantum technology part on the site of the old U.S. Steel Southworks plant, and part is classroom and office space downtown. The president of the U of I system tells Cranes the quantum opportunity is a game changer for the state of Illinois. Bernie Tafoya, News Radio, 105.9 WBBM.
All Local is a production of News Radio 105.9 WBBM, Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station. Please like and subscribe to this podcast on the Odyssey app to continue receiving up-to-date news and information.